You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Anyway, lovely to meet you. And the Pogues haven't been to New Zealand since 1990. That's far too long.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time.
It's a very long time. So we're very pleased that you are coming back.
Well, we're thrilled, obviously.
Yeah, no, it'll be wonderful. What made you decide that Rum Sodomy and the Lash needed a 40th anniversary tour?
Well, the rest of the world rather than us. I mean, the fact that it had an anniversary and then people expressed an interest in that and made us, you know, offers to do a few tours. So as simple as that, really. We're just responding to what people have expressed an interest in us doing.
Well, that's wonderful, because I think, did you do a bit of a tour for Red Roses for Me as well?
We did, yeah. We did that. I'm a bit confused about years now. We did a one-off in 2024, I think it was. And then, so last year we did a tour in May, a UK tour. And then we did the first Rum Sodomy and the Lash one in the States in September.
Now, I want to go back to the very beginning, because you're one of the original members of the band. What made you guys want to play the type of music that you've ended up playing? Was that intentional?
It was, well, I mean, we had an idea. There was an idea which, you know, put in its simplest form, was to take Irish Rebel songs and songs that Shane had started writing, kind of, you know, influenced from him growing up, you know, with that, within that tradition. And but rather than playing them in the way people had heard them before, we wanted to play them with the actual traditional instruments, but approaching them more as we'd approach a punk rock song, let's say.
Did anyone else doing anything like that, or was that something you just thought you should do?
No one else was doing that at all. And the other thing was that we didn't know how to play these instruments. And so we had to sort of make that, we had to develop our own style as we went along. So it meant that we were approaching something that was already very old and from a tradition, but from a completely contemporary new angle, and with a very respectful irreverence to how we played it. So what I mean by that is that we weren't sort of trying to be a joke, just hamming it up on these instruments we couldn't play. We took it very seriously that even though we couldn't really play them, we would do it to the best of our ability and improve. And through that, you know, a style developed of it, you know, a style based on us as individuals as well as on, you know, musical forms. So it was very much like you just take a very simple idea and apply it and then see what comes out of it.
And people are still interested in it now.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me that they are, because the music itself is very timeless. You know, I mean, we're playing a lot of songs that are a few hundred years old, and we're playing songs that, you know, we've written or Shane's written that are over 40 years old themselves, some of them. So, you know, songs, obviously, they have a very long life. And, you know, I think the other thing is that we never approached them with kind of production values that were very much of a time, and sounds that were very much of a time. So it lends the recordings, and the songs themselves lend themselves to having a longevity.
Also, you must have learned to play your instruments quite well, because you've carried on playing a wide range of instruments since then, haven't you? Was it the banjo you first started with?
Yeah, that was the first one I made an attempt to learn to play, the five-string banjo.
But you've become quite a respected musician in a whole bunch of different instruments, like the mandola, which I hadn't heard of. Is that a relative of the mandolin?
Yeah, it's like an octave lower than the mandolin, though I really wouldn't claim to be a great player of the mandola or mandolin. I mean, most of these instruments, to be honest, I can work out and play a few tunes and sound quite competent within a band, but I I'm not the world's greatest musician, I don't think. I think I'm better at writing music in a way than playing it, as much as I enjoy playing it.
Well, it's got to start
Yeah.
somewhere, and writing is the obvious place to be starting with anyway. Can you tell me a little bit about the hurdy-gurdy, though? Because I don't know a lot about it, and I hear that's something that you do play as well.
Yes, yeah, well, that's kind of obsession of mine. So it's a very ancient instrument. It, goes back at least 1,000 years historically. And in essence, what it is, it's a bowed string instrument. But the novel thing about it is that the bow is a wheel. And so that means the strings go over the wheel. And as you turn the wheel, it's bowing the strings. But because it's a wheel, it carries on as long as you turn it, the note will carry on. So that, you have a number of different strings. Some are drone strings, and a couple of strings you can play with keys, you can play melodies on. So you can kind of accompany yourself with quite lush drones, or maybe not quite so lush drones, depending on what you feel like. It has a kind of, if you hear it in, sometimes people think they're listening to pipes. Although it's strings, it can sound like kind of pipes. And it can also sound like a few string instruments playing together at the same time, and it can sound quite harsh. It's not the softest instrument, but yeah, it's something I've had one for a long time, but I only really seriously started trying to play it about 4 years ago or so. So when we started playing again, I kind of
You picked it
wanted
up.
to play that on songs I hadn't played it on before.
Now, Rum Sodomy and the Lash is a wonderful record, and there's a particular song that I think resonates very well in this part of the world. The band played Waltzing Matilda,
Yeah.
because, as you probably know, we have an Anzac Day. It's actually coming up quite shortly, and it's the
Yes.
Australian and New Zealand Army Corps commemoration of wars.
Yeah.
How did you come across that song?
Well, it was a song that was quite popular in folk circles in Britain, and in Ireland. I'm not sure where I first heard it. I think I might have first heard it in a folk club when I was a kid. But yeah, it was it, yeah. So, we knew the song, and it was something Shane liked to sing, and it still resonates what the song's about. I'm going on now. I don't have
Yeah,
to explain more,
absolutely.
obviously. And actually, at the time we started first trying to play it, was the time of the Falklands War. I don't know if you remember, and it seemed relevant in terms of that as well. So yeah, it's a song that's always been around in our, experience, and we've always liked, and we've always played. Yeah, it's a very eloquent, heart rendering, well,
It is.
heartbreaking song.
I'd say it's my favourite song written about, wartime and that kind of thing. And I always play it every Anzac Day. And if I'm doing a
Yeah.
radio show, I'll definitely make sure to play it. It's really
What the
special.
our version or some other version do you play?
Yeah, your version, definitely. Yeah,
Oh, good.
that's my favourite.
Correct. Correct
Correct
answer.
answer, I love
Yes.
that. So when you play here, how does it feel to go back to those songs again and then reinterpret them live?
Well, no, it's great actually, because now we're playing with a whole new bunch of musicians who, in fact, kind of grew up listening to us. So, in a sense, we're sort of passing the tradition on, but except for the fact that they're really inspiring people to work with. So, we're getting a lot, learning a lot from playing with them, and it's really giving all the music a whole new life, really revitalizing. I think it still, sounds very true to the spirit in which they were originally performed and recorded by us, but with a new lease of life, as I hope you'll hear.
And obviously, with some of your members having passed, I imagine they're still very much in your thoughts, especially with the presence of Shane. But I think
Yeah, very
it's
much so.
a lovely tribute to those people and the work that they put into the band over the
I'd
years.
like to think so, yes. I mean, they feel very present. Shane, of course. Andrew died very recently.
That's sad.
And yeah, very. So yeah, you can't replace those people. So we haven't tried to replace them. We've sort of gone this other route, which I think works, where instead of trying to replace one person with another person, you just get loads of people and they all do a bit,
That's a great
and it
idea.
becomes a kind of different thing,
Fill up the stage. It's going to be wonderful to see the sounds like a big group you've got together. It's going to be
It
amazing
is, yeah.
energy.
I don't even know how many. I've lost count. There's maybe 14 or 15 people, not
Wonderful.
always or on the stage at the same time, but
Yeah, brilliant.
It's a lot of people.
We're looking forward very, very much to seeing you on, I think, Saturday the 11th of April.
Yeah.
Yes.
Brilliant.
I've just got one final question for you. I'm very intrigued about your long player project.
Oh, yeah.
1,000 years of music with no repetition. Is that what the premise is?
Well, in a sense, it's everlasting because it repeats every 1,000 years. So
gotcha.
Yeah, every 1,000 years, it gets back to where it started. So in that sense, it could be longer. But it was an original. Originally, it's just another very simple idea, like the one for the Pogues was just a one single sentence that was write a 1,000-year-long piece of music.
Mm.
But the reason I was trying to do that was because I was trying to make sense of what 1,000 years was.
Which we will never know ourselves in some way.
No. So, and, you know, to create a space somehow to imagine one's way into that. So it started playing over 26 years ago and on it goes.
Is there a website we can find?
Yeah, there's a website called, very unimaginatively, called longplayer.org.
Nice.
And you can hear it there, and there's lots of information about it too.
Excellent. Well, I recommend everyone go and have a wee peep at that.
Yeah.
And yeah, thank you so much. And we look forward to welcoming you to New Zealand when you arrive. And we look
thank
forward
you.
To the show immensely.
Brilliant.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.